humans out in human land. How are you today on this Thursday afternoon? No, this is not Mac McNeil. This happens to be instead Ellie Krug subbing for Matt. He's off away doing something I'm sure quite wonderful, but you have me instead. And so here we are. You've got me for the next hour. And some of you are familiar with me from my show on Hidden Edges Radio that plays on Sundays from 1 to 2, although that show is ending. Others of you might be aware of me from Ellie 2.0, 7:30 to 8 on Monday mornings, and that will be expanding on July 9th to 7 to 8 o'clock. So here I am plugging my show while I'm subbing for Matt. I hope all of you are doing well. And I would love to hear from you. One of the things I love on subbing during the week is that there are actually callers who are willing to call in. And remember, the number is 952-946-6205. You don't even know what we're going to talk about, but I'd love for you to call in. And what are we going to talk about? Well, today we're going to talk about children. And not just any children. We're going to talk about children, mine, as well as theirs. Mine, because actually in a minute you're going to hear from my youngest daughter, my youngest daughter, Meredith, and theirs because of what's going on in our country right now as it relates to the border. And I think for most listeners right now, I don't need to relate what it is that's going on at the border. Even though President Trump today has changed course late yesterday afternoon and today continues to change course. But what I want this show to be is about, in part, about loss, because this is what we're hearing about what's happening at the border, where families are being separated, where children are being taken literally away from their parents, and the loss that's involved with that. And as it relates to my daughter, Meredith, who I'm looking at right now, and in a second you'll hear her voice, there's some loss involved with her because my daughter is an adoptee. She was born in Korea. She lived in an orphanage for 5 months before coming to the United States as a five-month-old. And my daughter almost died in an orphanage. She had a cleft lip. She was lactose intolerant, which they didn't figure out in Korea. And when she came home from Korea at 5 months old, she only weighed 10 pounds. 10 pounds at 5 months. So you can have an idea of how sick she was. But she is no longer sick. Meredith Krug, welcome.
Thank you.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I'm happy to have you on the show. And just thrilled to have you here. Meredith, first of all, let's get the audience to get to know you a little bit. You're here visiting from New Orleans, actually relocating from New Orleans. You're on your way to Korea, is that right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You're going to be teaching English in Korea. Do I have that right?
Yep.
Where in Korea?
It'll be Jeju Island. It's just like a little island off the coast of the mainland of Korea, so I'll be doing that for a year. Beaches and just like mountains, and I'm super excited.
So. Yeah, and we should let the audience know that you are a world traveler. You've lived in Norway, you've lived in all over the United States. You worked for Bernie for a year plus, right?
Yep, that was fun.
And then you did a number of different campaigns, right?
Mm-hmm.
And most recently, you've been down in New Orleans, kind of taking in New Orleans and life there.
Yep, doing New Orleans, which doesn't involve politics at all. So.
Yep, so you've taken a break from that, and now you're on this show, when we're going to talk about a lot of different things.
Thank you for inviting me.
So listeners, this is going to be contra Minnesota, because we're going to actually talk about things that are in our hearts. You're going to have, right now for this show, a parent and a child talking about a number of different things that you don't ordinarily hear on the radio. So if you were thinking about tuning off because it's not Matt, his bubbly personality, well, give us a try. If you want to still turn us off after a few minutes, well, go ahead. That's fine. So Meredith, here's the question to start this off, okay?
Sure.
What is it like to be a 26-year-old Asian-appearing woman in America today.
That's a, you know, honestly, I did not think of that before. I really view myself as like a person for, I don't know. It's like I, every once in a while I'll get reminded that I am, you know, Asian because of my appearance, and that's, you know, perception of other people. People ask me all the time, where are you from? And I'm like, oh, I grew up in Iowa. And they're like, no, where are you really from? And I'm like, I'm from Iowa. Like, you know, I was in South Korea for 6 months. I don't remember Jack. I'm going to Korea just, you know, happenstance because I got a job there and it paid well. And I was like, all right, cool, I'll go back there. And I just happen to be where I'm born. You know, I'm excited, super excited to go there. But, you know, I don't really, I'm not in touch with, you know, Korean culture or anything like that. But, you know, it's great. I love being a 26-year-old woman, but I don't really know it.
What do you – I mean, you know, when you think about America today with the way the country is, do you feel oppression? Do you feel that you are the subject of oppression in any way? Or is it because you grew up in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, in a 50% white household – And you know, upper middle class, or no, actually probably upper class in Cedar Rapids. Do you feel more white than you do Asian?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what it feels like to be white. I definitely don't feel like I don't feel what people would typically associate with like being Asian. Like, you know, you know, I don't really know that much. I'm very, you know, ignorant in terms of that whole aspect of like where I'm from and, you know, just Asian culture in general and Korean culture in general. But
although yeah. as you were but growing I, up, we know, talked about Korea a great deal. You went to Korea.
Yeah, Korean camp. Yeah, yep. I ate some Korean food. That was great. I don't remember anything that happened at that camp because we were like kids. But yeah.
So, guess, yeah. All right. So here's the ancillary question is that you know, you grew up in white culture and can you empathize with the immigrants who are coming to the U.S. right now with the kids and you know, young kids and we've got young teenagers being separated from their parents?
I mean, I think that what they're going – I don't think you can compare what I went through to what they're going through. They're going through a completely different thing. I was very lucky with my situation where I was able to, you know, I was adopted. It was a very typical textbook adoption, if I remember, you know, from what I heard. And these kids are going through something terrible, something completely different that I cannot relate to at all. And their parents, obviously, and, you know, we have no idea what's going to happen with that. But, yeah, I don't think you can relate with my traditional adoption to what is going on with these poor kids and their families at all.
Okay. So so then let me pivot. And listeners, if you want, give us a call at 952-946-6205. It's not often that we get a 26-year-old woman making her way through the world on the air. And talking about what it's like to be 26-year-old in America right now, and we're going to tease more out of that. But for those listeners who are not usual to Ellie Krug, here's the story. I'm transgender. I'm one of the relatively few transgender radio hosts in the world, and you know I'm on AM 950 because they like me and they believe in the work that I'm doing. I do a lot of work around human inclusivity. So Meredith. Here's the question for you. I want to pivot from what we've been talking about. What is it like? What is it like to be the daughter of a transgender parent?
It is a lot of fun. It's great. Every day is something new. I mean, it's, I don't know. It's great. I guess, you know, people, I talk about my parents with friends just like occasionally, and then I use female pronouns, and I'm like, oh, I'm using female pronouns because she's trans, male to female, and they're like, oh, cool, you know, whatever, and then we continue talking. I remember making it was like a huge impact on my life when I was growing up because, you know, the divorce and everything like that, and it took a little bit of getting used to, but now it's great. I mean, it taught me so much about being authentic and just kind of living. You have to like live, you know, life is short. You got to be authentic and kind of do you, or else, you know, you're just going to hate yourself, that kind of thing. I was really that set, you know, because I was like, what, 18 when you came out as trans?
No, and then, you were 12.
Well, you were 12
when I left.
Uh-huh.
And then you would have been and then you would have been 17. That's right. When I came out as transgender. So,
yeah. And that whole lesson and then reading the book last year really solidified, you know, you got to be authentic and that.
All right.
So for like that.
OK, so for listeners, what you just heard is a reference to my book. I've written a book, Getting to Ellen, a memoir about love, honesty and gender change. And in that book, Meredith held off reading it for a while, but you read it last year, right?
Really good. Yep. Really, really good book. Couldn't put it down. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's good to know about your life and that you couldn't put it down because you were in that book, right?
Yeah.
So for people who have read the book, Meredith shows up as Lily. I used a pseudonym for you in the book. So Meredith, when we come back, we're going to take a break. We'd love to hear from callers at 952-946-6205. When we come back, we're going to talk more about what's it like to have a parent who's transgender, and we're going to talk more about what it's like to have some loss in your life, because you have had some loss. So you're listening to me, Ellie Krug, subbing for Matt McNeil for today, and hopefully you're relatively enjoying it. And when we come back, we'll talk more. We've got my daughter here. We'll talk about also about what's going on at the border, and we will talk about whatever you want to. Give us a call. Thanks. We'll be back in a minute.
Stand up. You've been sitting way too long.
Hello, this is Ralph Nader, host of the Ralph Nader Radio Hour. Join me and my guests every week when we dive deeply into the subjects that matter to you the most, but are rarely on the mass media. Every Sunday for early birds at 7 a.m. and Monday at 6 a.m. And if you're not an early bird, 9 p.m. on Monday, right here on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Would you or your organization like to become better storytellers? The Uptake can help. Learn from the best teachers in Minnesota when it comes to writing, photography, audio documentary, or live video streaming. I'm personally teaching the live video classes. We're offering classes on Saturdays in June. There's a charge, but there's a discount for students and low-income people. Space is limited, so register now at theuptake.org/classes. That's theuptake.org/classes and learn to storytell like a pro.
Tap Taste and Treasure at Vinaigrette, where we have some warm seasonal recipes all ready to create dynamite meals. Our fig balsamic vinegar pairs perfectly with roasted Brussels sprouts or baked brie. And sweet potatoes are always a winner, but never more than when they're roasted with a drizzle of vinaigrette cinnamon or orange-fused extra virgin olive oil on top. Come in today for more custom-crafted food and cocktail recipes at Vinaigrette, 50th and Xerxes in Minneapolis and 287 Water Street in downtown Excelsior. Online at vinaigrettemn.com.
Hello, humans. This is me, Ellie Krug, with Ellie 2.0 on Monday mornings at 7:30. This Monday, I'll talk about what makes for an idealist. I'll also share about getting hired for my first real job where I could finally be my true idealistic self. I've got a vision of a better world where everyone has a place at the table. Ellie 2.0, engaging and real on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Tom Hartman here, letting you know how you can go solar with All Energy Solar, even way up north in Minnesota. Lots of people ask them, isn't Minnesota too cloudy for solar? No. The truth? For one thing, Minneapolis gets nearly as much sun each year as Houston, Texas. But it isn't just about how much sun you get. It's also about having access to great local incentive programs that make solar affordable. Learn what your options are to save with solar and visit allenergysolar.com today.
Crooner's Lounge and Supper Club is delighted to offer its spacious facilities for your private function. From weddings, retirement parties, business dinners, or any special occasion, Crooner's combines a dedicated full-service special events team, an award-winning chef, and a beautiful lakeside ambiance to make your event a resounding success. Visit croonersloungemn.com to learn more about their private dining options or call 763-571-9020 to get a quote for your next event today.
We are back. Hello, humans. You're listening to me, Deep Voice, Deli Krug, subbing in for Matt McNeil. And we've been speaking to a 26-year-old Korean adoptee named Meredith Krug, who happens to be my daughter. And before we broke, we started talking a little bit about our relationship and what it's like to have a parent who's transgender. So if you've got people who are transgender in your life, or if you happen to be somebody who is transgender, or if you have a parent who is gay or lesbian or whatever, this is actually a conversation for you. So, Meredith, a little bit more about your history for our listeners so that they understand. And you were adopted when you were 5 months old. At that time, you know, I had been married to your mom for a number of years. Your mom and I actually were together for a total of 32 years before everything fell apart. You came home when you were 5 months old. You had this this cleft lip that was pretty gaping. There was a big gape there and a big gap. And you only weighed 10 pounds at 5 months. And there was a lot of concern about whether you were going to live, let me just tell you. But we got your cleft lip taken care of. We got some weight put on you. And then by all accounts, we were a family that was, you know, your traditional American family with two parents and two kids. Mm-hmm. And even though both daughters were Korean adoptees, it didn't make any difference, of course, to us. And by all accounts, everything was fine. And then, of course, as you may remember, I came out first as what I thought was a gay man, which was totally wrong. And then I left to explore and figure out about me. And then 5 years after that, I came out as transgender, and then I transitioned genders. In the time between that, you came to live with me. You remember that?
Yep, that was fun. High school.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. You came ostensibly for, I think it was supposed to be for a month over the summer of your between 9th and 10th grade, and it turned out to be for 3 years that you came and stayed with me. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
So here's the question: Why do you think our relationship worked? What did I do right? or what is it about you that made it possible for you to, I mean, this was, you know, the time period of 2004, 2005, 2006. I mean, gay and lesbian people were out, but not fully accepted. And certainly transgender people were hardly heard of at all at that point. Why do you think it worked between you and me?
I think it worked because you knew, because you were going through a process of like, I'm going to be myself. And I was in high school, and, you know, high school is so difficult because you've got so many different cliques, like, oh, yeah, I'd be like this, be like that. And I wasn't sure of like who I was. I remember trying wearing skinny jeans and making that work for a little bit, and then like trying to be preppy, and I had no talent whatsoever. So I couldn't like join band or do sports, or I had no idea where I was trying to go. And, you know, in high school, you kind of cling on to that just for survival. And you were really great at being like, oh, you should just be yourself and just kind of explore. This is, you knew that, like, you had a lot of good perspective to give me. And I just remember really liking staying at your place because I was, you know, volunteering for Obama's campaign. I was, like, really into that, which is, like, the weirdest thing for, like, a high schooler to be in. You know, I did not know anybody who was doing that at the time.
So you were the youngest volunteer in Barack Obama's campaign in the summer of 2007. This was when Barack Obama was barely a name, And yeah. you came to me and you said you wanted to go down and volunteer at his office in downtown Cedar Rapids. And I said, okay. You remember that?
Yeah, I remember you being – there was like a magazine of like Obama and then Hillary. And I was like, which one do you like more? Because I had no – I didn't know who these people were. And you're like, that one. I was like, all right, cool. And then some guy from Obama's campaign and came into the high school. And I was like, this is fun.
So you went and did that.
Yeah.
Right. So what I'm hearing from you, and listeners, if you want, give us a call at 952-946-6205. You can talk to me or you can talk to Meredith. Or we're going to pivot a little bit and we're going to talk about what's going on in the border, and you can talk about that as well. You know, the thing that I remember about you is that you were struggling in school, and you were not what I would call a traditional student.
I was the worst high school student ever.
Okay,
I didn't
all right.
do anything.
Okay, well, let's get that out there. But do you remember that because we were getting into knockdown, drag-out fights every night about homework? You
sure,
remember that?
Yeah.
And do you remember that eventually what I said to you was, okay, all I asked was that you graduate from high school. I didn't care what grade you got in science or anything else, because no one was ever going to ask you what your grade was in junior, first
they
year.
They never did, thank God, or else they wouldn't be too impressed.
Right.
Yeah.
But I did say that if you were going to – all I asked that you graduate from high school. Remember, that was the requirement. You had to graduate. And then you remember what I said. You needed to replace that with something that you were passionate about. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that conversation?
I don't, but yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we did have that conversation, believe me. It's embedded in my memory, and that's when you picked up Barack Obama.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, that was
so
fun.
And so I was very, very thrilled that you did that. So, and
I'm thrilled that you let me do that, because I remember you just like giving me cab money so I could just go down there and like let me do this, which is like –
Yep.
Oof, yeah.
We set up – I set up an arrangement. This was before Uber existed, an arrangement with one of the Cedar Rapids cab companies that they would come and pick you up and take you there because I was working. So
super lucky that you did that. Thank you.
Okay. Well, yeah. You're welcome. You're welcome. So listeners, we've been speaking with my daughter Meredith Krug about some things about being an adoptee, about being the daughter of somebody who's transgender. And we're trying to give you a sense of what it's like to be in that kind of a other family, and somehow children in the face of loss do actually persist and thrive. Meredith, I would say that you were thriving when you lived with me. Would you agree with that? Of course, I'm your parent. What else are you going to say?
Yeah, I was really lucky to live with you. It was great. I mean, it was rocky, but, you know, as is adolescence, so. Yeah.
Right, and of course I had you on the show so you would say that. But when we come back from our break, listeners, we're going to talk about what's going on in America right now as it relates to other children. So we've been covering my children, my child. When we come back from our break, we're going to talk about other children, the children that are going on, what's happening at the border, and I would really love to hear from you. I'm sure that you've been thinking about this, and I'd like to hear from you about it. You're listening to me, Ellie Krug, sitting in for Matt McNeil while he's out doing something quite wonderful, I'm sure. And if you like what you hear, you can visit my website at elliekrug.com, or you can go to my or you can email me at ellijkrug@gmail.com, and I'd love to hear from you. And when we come back, we'll cover the landscape down on the south border. Thank you.
Get your vehicle's summertime service done at Rudy Luther Toyota. The last thing you need is a breakdown while on a road trip or heading to the lake. Regardless of where you've purchased your vehicle, Rudy Luther Toyota is your number one destination for auto service and repair. Routine maintenance or a larger repair, easily schedule your appointment on their website, rudyluthertoyota.com. I trust them. They're fast, courteous, and they do the job right. Get your vehicle summer ready at Rudy Luther Toyota, 5 miles west of downtown Minneapolis on 394.
AM 950 listeners, we have a home cleaning company with an offer just for you. They're Blue Sky Services. Blue Sky Services will wash your windows, siding, gutters, clean those black streaks off your roof, and more. Window washing starts at $100. Siding cleaning starts at $199. Call Blue Sky Services at 651-447-4484 to ask for the AM 950 special. If you hear this, you have an exclusive house cleaning offer for June only. Call 651-447-4484. That's Blue Sky Services at 651-447-4484.
Hi, it's Tom Hartman. You know, Continental Diamond is special for a lot of reasons. The owners are Jimmy and Helene Pessis, a husband and wife team who had a dream to open their own store more than 30 years ago. They've built a business that is the gold standard. The readers of Minnesota Bride Magazine have named Continental Diamond the best jeweler for the last 7 years. Why? Amazing, friendly, no-pressure customer service, a selection of fine diamonds and design jewelry unlike anywhere else, and the fresh-baked chocolate chip cookies are pretty great, too. Continental Diamond in St. Louis Park and at ContinentalDiamond.com.
Minnesota's original appliance specialist, Warner Stellion, is excited to announce the opening of its new store, located off Broadway and 35W in Northeast Minneapolis. Now, here's what we're going to do at our new store. We're going to sell all the best brands at guaranteed unbeatable prices. Then we're going to deliver and install them right and fast. It's been a long time since a new appliance store opened in the city of Minneapolis. You can see us from the highway. We're on the east side of 35W, next to Boyer Ford. Come for a visit soon.
At Burger Mo's, Mondays no longer need to be a drag. Dine on the beautiful patio for Burger Monday Madness every Monday after 4 p.m., where you can order any burger and fries off menu for just $6. Not valid on Excel event evenings. Burger Mo's offers 20 fresh, never-frozen burger varieties, as well as delicious appetizers, soups, salads, and unburgers, dogs, paninis, shakes, and desserts. Located at 242 West 7th Street in St. Paul, with plenty of free parking, and online at burgermo's.com.
The number one source of the Twin Cities gay scene is All Digital. Follow Twin Cities Gay Scene on Facebook and Twitter. Sign up for the Scene Shot email blast for weekly updates and chances to win great prizes. No app is needed to view the bi-weekly web editions of Scene. It's GLBTQ media for the mobile generation. Find it all at TwinCitiesGayScene.com. That's TwinCitiesGayScene.com.
We are back on the Matt McNeil Show. This is not Matt, of course. This is Deep Voice Dilly Krug subbing in for Matt. But thanks for listening, if you are, and thanks for being here. So for the first half of the show, we talked about my child. Now I want to talk about their child and what's going on the southern border. And I know this has been all the occupation of the airwaves ever since we started to focus on this. Although this story about parents being separated from their children at the border has been actually bubbling up for the last 2 months, as you might know. But it takes time for things to get on the radar. And now on the radar, yes, it is, for sure. So much so on the radar that President Trump, of course, did something for him which was quite unthinkable. He reversed course and entered an executive order and then modified the executive order today about keeping families together when parents appear at the border with their children and are the subject to the zero tolerance policy about no one allowed in illegally and no one and catch this quote-unquote catch and release thing ending. So we're better than where we were, but not entirely. And of course, we have this issue of what do we do with the children who have already been separated from their parents? So that's 2,300 kids and counting. I mean, at one point, I think it was we're up to 67 children being separated from their parents every day. If you think about that too long, your head will explode. I'd love to hear from you about your thoughts on this at 952-946-6205. I would love to hear from listeners on this topic of what do we do with the kids. And I wanted to highlight something that came across the news last night. I don't know about you. I am a huge Rachel Maddow fan. She is one of my heroes, actually my goal in life. So I was sitting with a number of women the other night as part of a women's group, and the topic for the group was bucket lists. And I sat around as other women talked about a bucket list, about taking a trip somewhere or living in a foreign country or doing something, you know, like that. And when they got to me, what my bucket list was, item number one on the bucket list is to be on the Rachel Maddow TV show. I don't want to be on the screen. I want to actually be in her studio, sitting across from her, where she can extend her hand out and say, "Hello, my friend," or "Good to talk to you, my friend." And that is actually on my bucket list. So I'm sure some of you listening right now were watching Rachel Maddow on Tuesday night as she was ending the show, and then she said, "There's breaking news." I haven't even read this breaking news, and she pointed down, leaned down to look down on the page on her desk and started to read, as she was reading for the first time and we were hearing the first time, about the fact that children of tender ages were being placed in internment camps in the United States. And you may recall that from Rachel's reading of that, she could not go on. She stopped. She could not finish reading what she, for the first time, was taking in about children of tender ages going to essentially internment camps in the United States of America. And Rachel broke down. She broke down crying. And it was exceedingly moving. And it certainly affected me greatly as I watched that. I had to turn everything off. And So, of course, I am well invested in what's happening on the South. And so what came across last night at the end of Rachel Maddow's show was yet another story of great impact, which is a story about a husband and wife, Charlotte and Dave Wilner, who live in San Francisco. They have a 2-year-old daughter. And the pictures of seeing the migrant children crying at the border prompted them to do something. And so what they did is they set up a GoFundMe page. It was a Facebook fundraiser with the goal of raising $1,500 to come up with enough money for bail money for one parent. That was the goal. Come up with enough bail money. And the goal was for that money then to be contributed to the Refugee and Immigrant Center for Education and Legal Services out of Texas, called RAICES, R-A-I-C-E-S. So the goal was, we're going to raise $1,500, we're going to donate it to RAICES, and that would be used for bail money to get a parent whose child had been taken away at the border, to get them out of jail and hopefully be able to reunite that parent with the child. Well, that was 4 days ago, before last night, and as Rachel Maddow was reporting, that $1,500 goal was exceeded by what Facebook called the largest single fundraising event ever seen on Facebook. They didn't raise $1,500. They didn't raise $150,000. They didn't raise $1.5 million. They raised $15 million in 4 days. $15 million raised by Americans and people from outside of America to deal with this disaster and inhumanity that our government has brought on families trying to enter the United States. More than 400,000 people have contributed to this Facebook fundraiser started by Charlotte and Dave Wildner to honor their two-year-old daughter and for them to be able to do something, just to do something about what was happening with children being taken away from their parents. Now, you know, I speak and train across America about human inclusivity. And when I do that, I talk about this concept that we all have empathetic hearts, that all of us do. I mean, 99% of us. I say 1% are total sociopaths. I don't know if there's a whole lot we can do with that 1%. But the other 99% of us, and I'm sure people are quibbling right now. Well, Ellie, I don't think it's 99. Maybe it's only 94. What you know, the vast, vast, vast majority of Americans and of all humans actually have empathetic hearts. It's just that we are either first unaware of how to exercise those hearts, or we are scared to death to use our hearts because we're afraid that it's going to cost us too much in terms of time or money, or we're going to get sucked up into something that we don't understand or that is going to overwhelm us. And because we are afraid, we don't exercise our empathetic hearts, we don't open them, and instead we run away. We go into denial. We do. Oh, I didn't see that. Oh, I didn't hear that. No, I'm turning it off. And you know what? Because we have empathetic hearts, they won't leave us alone. They won't. Our hearts talk to us. They're like, hey, you need to pay attention to this. You know, and some people are better at denial than others. But the reality is that everyone's heart's talking to them and saying, you need to pay attention to this. And I mean, asking for $1,500 and coming up with $15 million, now that is for the record books. That's not something I would have expected, but I certainly would have expected had they asked for $1,500 and I would have expected and they raised $1.5 million. I would have certainly expected that because I've seen that time and again. Just think of Philando Feeds the Children. Philando Castile, you know. Involved in police involved shooting almost now, almost 2 years ago, and Philando, they wanted to honor Philando after he died because he was the manager of a kitchen at an elementary school in St. Paul, and they wanted to pay off the lunch debt at his school. And the ask was just to pay off that lunch debt. And they had that money, which was only a couple thousand dollars. They had that money within, you know, hours. And then the money just kept coming in. And more than 4,000 people have given to Philando Feeds the Children. They've raised $155,000, enough to pay off the school lunch debt for all 59 schools in St. Paul. It's because we were taught, we showed people how to exercise their empathetic hearts. We've got a caller on the line, Mimi from St. Paul's. Mimi, do you want to talk
about... Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Do you want to talk about what's going on in our country down on the border about us separating parents from children?
You know, it feels sinister in a way that our government is separating these families and has no idea how to get them back together. And I see these pictures and all this new reporting in the last few days about how children are being drugged and possibly abused, and that the administration is saying we have no idea how we're going to get these families back together, and it's not our priority. And so parents are being deported without their children.
Yep.
Their children are in our system.
Yep.
How in the world are these parents going to get their children back? What in the goodness name is happening? This is going to go on for months. Imagine these children growing up now in our country without their parents. What percentage of these separations are going to end up being permanent?
Well, and that's why at the first part of the show I talked about my daughter Meredith living in an orphanage because she did not get the kind of care and attention that a parent would give in the orphanage. And there have been things that as Meredith has grown up, I am convinced are as a result of that first 5 months not having somebody there to hold her and to love her. And you are right. What's going on? We've got a government that is, first of all, very inept. I mean, it is, you know, it's they don't know what they're doing. I mean, unlike other presidential administrations, they cannot attract the best. They can't keep the best. They don't have the best. And so they're very inept. And so, of course, we're having these problems about they don't know where the children are, and they've been and they have issues about keeping track of them, and but I don't believe, and Mimi, I don't believe, and we're going to have to take a break here in a second. I do not believe that we will give up on this. I don't believe that the American people are going to let this go. I just don't.
Thank you.
Thank you
for what you're doing. Oh, good show. Thanks.
Oh, thank you, and thanks for calling. We'll be back in a minute. You've been listening to me, Ellie Krug, on AM 950, sitting in for Matt. We'll come back with our last segment. We'll talk more about what's going on this, on the border, and I have a little bit of an editorial. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Tap Taste and Treasure at Vinaigrette, where we have some warm seasonal recipes all ready to create dynamite meals. Our fig balsamic vinegar pairs perfectly with roasted Brussels sprouts or baked brie. And sweet potatoes are always a winner, but never more than when they're roasted with a drizzle of vinaigrette cinnamon or orange-fused extra virgin olive oil on top. Come in today for more custom-crafted food and cocktail recipes at Vinaigrette, 50th and Xerxes in Minneapolis and 287 Water Street in downtown Excelsior. Online at vinaigrettemn.com.
Kevin Ross here, inviting you to our brand new store called Ambibulous. What does Ambibulous mean? It means one who enjoys alcoholic beverages of all sorts. Ambibulous is a Minnesota maker's market. Unlike traditional liquor stores, we feature only craft beer, wine, and spirits made here in Minnesota. We are ready to guide your selections, where you can build your own 4 or 6 packs. Find us at 949 Hennepin Avenue East in Northeast Minneapolis or online at ambibulousmn.com.
Pride Weekend is almost here, and so is the music. Reserve your tickets now. Come out for Pride Night at Music in the Zoo featuring Xavier Rudd with special guest Emmanuel Jal on Wednesday, June 20th at 7:30 p.m. at the Wiesner Family Amphitheater in the Minnesota Zoo in Apple Valley. Reserved seats are $35 and VIP box tickets are $47.50 plus fees. Don't miss Pride in Concert on Saturday, June 23rd at 5 p.m. in Loring Park, where the main act will be Grammy Award-winning R&B pop singer Brandy, accompanied by her full band and dancers. The opening acts include Jujubee from RuPaul's Drag Race, Grammy winner Jamecia Bennett, and the Vigilantes Collective. The MC for the concert is Ricky Sebastian of Pride Radio. Tickets are $25 for ages 18 plus, and VIP tickets are $99 in advance for ages 21 plus and include free food and beverages and the chance to win meet and greet. Fireworks will follow the show at 10 p.m. Find details and tickets at tcpride.org. That's tcpride.org.
I'm Steve Conklin.
And I'm Jake DeRoff.
We're the hosts of the Mortgage Talk Show, Sundays at 12:30.
Every week we bring you insights on home financing, discussing rates, programs, local and national news.
Whether you're buying your first home or your 100th home, we have tips and inside information to save you money and feel like a mortgage master.
Check us out for more information and email us any questions at mortgagetalkshow.com.
Tune in to the Mortgage Talk Show every Sunday at 12:30 on AM 950.
Did you miss spring cleaning? Then it's time to get your carpet Zero Res cleaned for the summer. There are lots of carpet cleaning options in the Twin Cities, but only Zero Res cleans with patented powered water, so you know you get healthy, clean carpet that's safe for your family. So schedule your carpet cleaning today and get the Zero Res Summer 3-Room Special. And this month you can still get a great deal on your air duct cleaning. Call 952-ZERO-RES or visit ZeroResMN.com. Zero Res, spell it backward or forward, it spells the same.
Back on AM 950, you're listening to me, Ellie Krug, one of the relatively few transgender radio hosts in the world, which explains why I have a woman's name, but you're hearing a man's voice. I'm sitting in for Matt McNeil, and we've been talking about what's been going on the southern border. before we broke, we were talking about the incompetence of our government, literally, and about how it's going to have a heck of a time of connecting families, children who have been separated from their parents, where the parents have been deported. And what kicked that off was me talking about a Washington Post story by Darlena Kuna and Avi Selk about Charlotte and Dave Wilner of San Francisco, who created a Facebook fundraiser for $1,500 that morphed into $15 million. And there's a quote out of that piece in the Washington Post that I just want to read to you. You know, apparently on the first night of the fundraiser, now they've raised $15 million in 4 days, okay? On the first night, as the money was coming in when it was only $4 million, one of the people who created the fundraiser, Charlotte Wilner, wrote, quote, that clear morality commonality is what will sustain us, she said. It transcends almost everything. It is an enduring sense of what America ought to be about, unquote. Clear moral commonality. That is actually what we have. I mean, this country of ours has far, far more people who are appalled by what is happening on the border than people who are not. I'd love to hear from you about this at 952-946-6205. We don't have much time. I've got enough time for one caller if you want to call in. Otherwise, I will just go on and speak. And then there's another angle here that I also heard late last night on Rachel Maddow, was that she had a story about a flight attendant who worked for American Airlines who had written a blog piece about complicity. And this flight attendant had said essentially that they believed that a week or more ago on their flight, the flight that this flight attendant was a part of, there were some children, and they believed that they were children who had been separated from their parents and were being transported by customs officials to an internment camp. That's my phrase, but to a place where the children were going to be cared for. And the flight attendant wrote about how they felt guilt over that afterwards. They did not realize it at the time that the children were on the flight, only realized it afterwards, but they felt guilt, and then they felt, this flight attendant felt, that they had been complicit in something that was immoral. And then that flight attendant's blog went live, and what we heard then were four different airlines, and maybe it's up more than four, but that American Airlines, and then Frontier, and then United, and then the airline that because I was waiting for this one, Southwest, that's my airline, that's my favorite airline, that Southwest then all got on board and issued statements saying that they urged the government not to book flights for these children on their airlines, that they did not want those children on their flights, that they did not want to be involved in helping in any way for parents to be separated, for children to be separated from their parents. Think about that. You've got businesses now refusing to be complicit in immoral activity of the United States government. This is new. This is something that is incredible. And I predict this is something that is going to go viral. That from here on out, as we object to what our government is doing, that more and more businesses will get on board with that objection. I believe that that will happen. And frankly, I believe that actually that is the way forward. This does take me back to Target Corp, our own little Target Corp. And, you know, now I'm transgender, and this very quick story is about transgender people. You may remember 3 years ago when Target Corp announced that it would make all of its bathrooms available to transgender people that they could use it according to the identity that they identified with, the gender that they identified with, that Target would not be stopping people at their restrooms, would not be confronting people, and so that transgender people like me who look female but sound like a man, that they weren't going to prevent me from using the women's bathroom, even though, you know, when I was born, I was assigned a different gender at birth. So Target stood up for that. They were then the subject of a boycott, which I think may still be ongoing by people who have a religious objection to transgender people. But you know what? Target persisted. They did. And Target's profits have come back and, you know, and there you go. That was the first, I would say, first example of a corporation not wanting to be complicit in a government policy that marginalized humans. And now we have it with the airlines, with these children being separated from their parents, and we're going to have it in other things. I just predict that. I predict that as more and more Americans are willing to stand up to oppression, to willing to stand up to what our government is doing. And I'm sorry, there are certain things, there are certain rules that we do not break in this country. And one of those rules is we do not separate children from their parents. There are other rules that we're going to come across that we don't break, because this is America. Don't you remember? This is what made us different from other countries. And we've got more people that are not going to fall for the claim that there's a whole lot of people out there that want to marginalize people. I'm just telling you. It is a small majority of Americans that are on board with what our government is doing. The vast majority of Americans are not on board with it. They object to it. They are to the tune of 400,000 Americans and other people putting in $15 million to prove their objection to what's going on in our country. And so here's my last thought about this, listeners. You don't hear from me very often. I'm an idealist at heart. I'm a unifier, not a divider. But here, please, don't be complicit. Think about the ways that you could end up being complicit with our government's immoral activities. Don't be complicit. Take a stand. I know that it requires that you be brave. I understand that. But you can do this. And I know it's because we all have empathetic hearts. We need to do this. We do. Well, there you go. Ellie Krug sitting in for Matt McNeil. I hope you've enjoyed the show. It's not Matt, that's for sure. We've been different, that's for sure. I need to thank my producer, Eric Nelson. Thank you, Eric. You are wonderful. And I want to thank my daughter, Meredith, for having been on the show. I want to thank you, listeners, for having let me occupy your brain for just even a little bit. Take care. Bye-bye.